In the book of John, the first chapter, starting with the 24th verse. And they which were sent were the Pharisees, and they asked him and said unto him, Why baptizest thou them, if thou be not that Christ, nor Elias, nor neither that prophet? And John answered them, saying, I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom ye know not. He it is who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoes latchet I am not worthy to unloose. And these things were done in Bethrebet beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. This is the verse I want us to pay close attention to. And the next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in the last times for you. Verse 19, but with the precious blood of Christ, As of a lamb, without blemish and without spot. And may God add his blessings to the reading of his precious, holy, and divine word. And this morning, I guess if I had a thought, maybe this morning I'd want to share with you, it would be behold, the Lamb of God. And you read your Bible, and all through the Bible, even from the very beginning with Abraham, and even in the beginning of Adam and Eve, and when they sinned, and it says God took some skins and gave it to Adam and Eve to hide their nakedness. That there tells us that there was some bloodshed. They're even in the Garden of Eden, and I'm just of the persuasion to believe that it was probably a little lamb that was slain to cover, to hide Adam and Eve's sin. And even when Abraham went up on, I believe it was maybe Mount Sinai, I'm not sure on that, and took his son up there and for a sacrifice, but God provided them a sacrifice, maybe a ram or a lamb up there. And a lamb in the Bible is in the Old Testament, and even to typify Jesus as a type and a shadow of Christ that was to come, and that was illustrating what Christ's role would be in our lives, and going to the cross to die for you and I. And a lamb was maybe a sheep that had not reached maybe under the age of one, and it was innocent. And when God was getting ready to lead the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt, and he began to talk to Moses, he told Moses, he said, go and get thy people ready, for we're getting ready to leave the land of Egypt. And God's children, the Israelites, had been in they'd been in slavery, they'd been in hard labor and in bondage for some 400 years, and God sent all kind of plagues before Pharaoh to try to let the people go, but they was it was unable to do it. But God told Moses, said, Moses, one more last plague, I'm going to send. And and he said, go and get the children and get everybody in the house, and go and get you a lamb and some hyssop, and take that little innocent lamb that had done nothing wrong. Maybe a lamb and sheep in those days were very precious commodities to have, and they was needed in their livelihood. And he told them, said, go tell everybody to get them a lamb and to sacrifice it for this very night. We're leaving this land of heartache. We're leaving this land of bondage. We're leaving this land of slavery, and we're going to go to a land of promise where the milk and honey flows. But I want you to go get you a lamb, and not just any lamb, but I want you to go get you a lamb without spot and without blemish, a lamb that is perfect to look upon. I want you to go and get a lamb, and this is what I want you to do to the lamb. It wasn't to carry it with you in to the land, to the promised land, but this lamb, the most perfect lamb that a family had, was to be coming. It was to be they would get it and they would slit its throat, and how it would come was that hot boiling blood would proceed out, and by the blood of the lamb they was to take it, and with some hyssop, and to strike it upon the doorpost and upon the sidepost of the door. And everybody that got in the house, when the death angel come, it wouldn't stop at their house, but it would pass on over, and everybody would be saved from the plague of death. So it's by the blood of the Lamb that you and I are saved today. And thank God today for the Lamb of God. And so they, the Israelites, the children of Israel, lived this way for many years. And even on the Day of Atonement, when in Israel, when all their sins, this was the day that the man from the head of the family would go to Jerusalem to the temple, and the high priest, he was the only one that was going to offer up the blood for the sacrifice of all of Jerusalem. He would go and he would get the most perfect lamb that he had, and he would take it and he would kill it, and he would get the blood and he would take it in to the most holy room, the Holy of Holies, and he would sprinkle it upon the mercy seat, and God would come down, and because of the blood of the Lamb, God would cover over the sins of the children of Israel. But listen, they wouldn't know salvation in that blood. It was only a temporary covering, because the blood of bulls and goats and the blood of little lambs was unable to take away the sins of the world. But they had to be something more precious than a little lamb to come. And who was it? It was none other than the Son of God, which the Bible said, Peter wrote to you, said it was ordained before the foundation of the world. See, this thing just didn't happen to come by chance. God knew way before the eons of time that he was going to have to give his darling Son, the Lamb of God, for me and for you. Why? Because he loves his people. And, his people, you and I, by nature and no fault of our own, we're born sinners. We're born with inherited sin. And by nature, we're sinners. We're not sinners because we sin. We sin because we're sinners. We're born that way. We're born corruptible. We're born where the outward man wants to do wrong. He does. And there's a conflict our whole lives between the inner man and the outward man. The outward man loves carnal things, but the inward man craves to be close to God. And ain't you glad today? Listen, John the Baptist was there baptizing on the River Jordan. The Pharisees, you know what they were? They were religious-minded people. They knew all the laws of God. Yeah, they did. But they was unwilling to accept Jesus as the Savior. The Bible said the Pharisees come to where John the Baptist was. No, listen now. These men knew the law. Hey, listen, the Bible said the law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no salvation in the law. You know what the law does? It lets us know that we're sinners. It points out our shortcomings and our downfallings. The Bible even talks about the law, the Word of God, as being a mirror or even a schoolmaster to us. You know what you do when you look in the mirror. You know what you see. You see a reflection of yourself. Whatever you look like when you look in the mirror, that's what you see. And I tell you what, when you open up God's holy Word and begin to read the law of God, you know what you see in yourself. You see just exactly what you are. If you got a tongue that curses, the Bible tells you a curser. You are not to do that. If you're an adulterer, it points at you that you're an adulterer. It's a mirror. It's a schoolmaster. It's there to correct us. But listen, there was no salvation in the Old Testament law. But John, as he's baptizing on the Pharisees with their high-minded ways, thought they had it figured out. But old John said, there standeth one here among you whom you know not. On the very next day, John was baptizing on the River Jordan. And he said, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. He was talking about Jesus. He recognized him, that Christ was born in this world for what? To offer up his life and his life's blood for a sacrifice that you and I might be able not to have a temporary covering, but to have permanent forgiveness of our sins. There's a lot of people, a lot of denominations that talk about you have to be saved 3 and 4 times. No, it's not temporary. Once you get the blood of Christ, it's permanent. You'll forever be saved by the blood of the Lamb. God is good to us. It's amazing to think just one little drop of that blood is able to cleanse us from all our filth and righteousness, from all our sins. You know what the high priest, when he'd go in on the Day of Atonement, listen, it wasn't every time that Christ would accept the offering of the little lamb. Maybe something was wrong. Maybe God, every time, if it wasn't just perfect, God wouldn't accept it. No, he wouldn't, and the high priest would be killed when they'd sprinkle that blood upon the mercy seat. But you know what he said when he seen his own son, the Lamb of God. He said, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. The sacrifice was accepted in God's eyes. God was well pleased with what his son done. Listen, this morning, God loves his people. He created them and he loves them. He gave Jesus to come and die on an old rugged cross that you might be able to have life and life more abundantly today. Listen, this ain't just some fairy tale. Peter said this ain't some cunningly devised fable that I made up. But he said this man Jesus is real. He said, I've touched him. I've held him. I've talked with him. Listen, this ain't some fairy tale that's just made up. This ain't just a collection of stories or fables that men has written down over the time of the history of time. This is a fact. It's not fiction. This is real, true history. That the very God that was sitting on the throne in heaven came down through the virgin birth of Mary. It was born and walked on this earth. God in the flesh, Jesus Christ. He was 100% God, but he also was 100% man. The Bible says we have not a high priest which has not been tempted, but in all points he was tempted just as you and I was tempted. He hurt, he bled, he had feelings just like you and I got this morning. Listen, the Bible said when Mary and Martha and his friend Lazarus died, the Bible said, talking about the Son of God, they called Jesus there. The Bible said, the shortest verse in the Bible, it said, Jesus wept. Jesus was a man just like you and I are, but he was perfect. He could have messed up. He could have gave in to temptation. But he knew in order for you and I to have any chance to make it from here to the glory world, it all rested on him, the Lamb of God. And he done all this knowing that he was going to have to go to the cross and die. Somebody said, well, it didn't hurt him. They wouldn't nothing to him. He was God. Listen, the Bible said the night before he was to go to the cross, he went to the Garden of Gethsemane. Began to pray even more earnestly. The Bible said he prayed so hard that his sweat became as great drops of blood. Listen, he was in agony. He didn't want to go to the cross. No, he didn't. He prayed, Father, let this cup pass from me. But nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. Listen, he knew every whip lash that was going to hit his body was going to be painful. Listen, every time they took that old whip and they hit his back with it, he felt every pain of it, just like you and I felt when they took those nails and they began to drive them into his hands. Oh, don't you know that old hammer pounded in his hands and in his feet? He felt every stroke of the nail. Listen, the Bible said there was even angels waiting on him just to give the command. At least 12 legions of angels. That's about 72,000 angels waiting on him to come. And they would have came and got him down off the cross. But thank God, you know what I believe? When he was on the cross, I was on his mind. You was on his mind. Thank God today, the Lamb of God. And when the blood, when they pierced his side, that blood began to flow. Sin, listen, had no more dominion over man. There was a covering. There was a way out of this thing for you and I. There was a way for you and me to get from here to the glory world, to the heaven, because the blood of the Lamb was able to do away with the sin. Satan had no more dominion, got no more power over us because of one little lamb. We're able to go from here to heaven. That ought to be enough to make everything. If you ain't got that blood of the Lamb on your heart's door this morning, you ought to come running to the altar saying, God, I'm wrong. I'm a sinner. I know I've done wrong, but if you'll forgive me and save me, listen, you know what? That's what he wants to do. He said, I didn't come to condemn the world, but if the world believe not on me, on Jesus, they're condemned already. Condemned already. He didn't come to condemn you. He came to save you, to seek and to save that which was lost. And I tell you what, when you get saved, it don't stop there. It just keeps getting better and better, don't it? How do you remember the story in the Bible where Jesus was talking about the shepherd? He said, which man, if he haveth 100 sheep and one of them go astray, does that not that shepherd leave the 99 to go out and search for that one little lost sheep? Have you ever wandered away from the sheepfold, got away from the care of God, no longer under the protection of the shepherd? But ain't you glad though, Jesus didn't let you go, the good shepherd? He said, I am the good shepherd. All my sheep know my voice, and a stranger they will not follow. Hey, listen, them old shepherds, you know what they do? They go out, they build their sheep a sheepfold, and they build up four walls, and they put briars and whatever they had to keep predators and animals from getting into them. He'd leave a little pathway for a door that the sheep might come in and out. But you know what? Oftentimes, the shepherd would use for a door. The shepherd oftentimes would lay right down in the entrance of that sheepfold. And if anything was going to get to his sheep, they had to go through the shepherd. But I'm glad today, once you and I come into God's sheepfold, there's nothing that can get through us. Because why? Amen. Because they have to go through the good shepherd. Amen, brother. And who is the good shepherd? None other than the Lord Jesus Christ himself. He is the good shepherd. He said, I can open doors, no man can shut them. And I can shut doors, and no man can open them. He is the good shepherd. He is the lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. Some of the last instructions he gave to Peter when they was laying over there on the shore, and they just got done eating honey and fishes. Jesus began to ask Peter some questions. Peter was a man. A lot of times we get characters, we get men and women in the Bible built up as something more than what they are. He was just a man. He was a good man, godly man. But he was just a man. The reason I'm saying all this is to tell you that we all mess up, and we all come short, and we all fall daily. Satan will take that and he'll use it, and he'll tell us any way he can do. He'll lie to us, and he'll make us think that our lives are nothing and that we're not good enough to work for the Lord. You know what that is? If we'll come, repent, and ask God to help us, God wants us, everyone, to work for him. Don't matter what you've done in life, we've all got a past. We've all messed up and done wrong. God don't care. He forgives our sins. He forgives them. And he'll never bring them up to us again. The devil will, but he won't. We've all got a past. It's not important where we've been. It's important where we're going and the direction we're headed. See, even Peter said all that to say this. Peter was a man. And it wasn't too long ago that Peter had even denied Christ. Peter denied him 3 times. Said, I don't know this man. He'd walked with him for 3.5 years. Slept with him. No many nights, probably laid out in an open field and slept and ate with him and talked and seen all the miracles that Christ had done. He knew he was the Son of God. There was no doubt, just like you and I that's saved, there's no doubt that Jesus, in our heart, that Jesus is the Son of God. But see, Peter was a man just like you and I was. Peter began to deny him. We all have. We've all denied Christ in our life. Every one of us has. But Peter, I believe, repented of that. Just as Jesus, it wasn't too long, Jesus was fixing to leave this world. He gave Peter some real good directions, instructions. He said, Peter, do you love me? He said, Peter, do you love me? Do you love me, Peter? He said, Lord, you know I love you. Jesus said, go and feed my lambs. Peter asked him again, Peter, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know I love you. I love you, Lord, you know that I love you. Go and feed my sheep, Jesus said. Third time he asked him again, the third time. He said, Peter, do you love me? I believe Peter was beginning, maybe, I don't know exactly what kind of emotion you'd call it. Maybe saddened. He said, Lord, you know, I love you. I do love you, Lord. I do love you. He said, go and feed my sheep. You and I that's been saved, that's the same command that God has given every one of us. Go and feed his lambs, the little ones. Remember, a lamb is just a little youngling. Go and feed them. They might grow up and be strong in the ways of the Lord. Feed his sheep, every one of us. Feed the sheep. Feed them. What do we feed them with? Feed them with the truth, the Word of God. Give it to them. Give it to them. Feed it to them. It's so, so important, the day in which we live, that we feed them with the truth, which is Jesus Christ himself, the Lamb of God that was slain from the foundation of the world. Gave his life's blood that you and I might have life and have it more abundantly. Come get you a song. We've said that we feel like the Lord would have us to say. You're here this morning. You got troubles. You got problems in your life. Jesus is here to help you. Silver City Church is here to help you. We're here to help. That's why we're here this morning, is to help you in your life. The Lord can. We can only go so far with you. But the Lord can do. The Lord can take care of whatever is wrong in your life. If you'll let him, you have to let him. If you're lost this morning and have never been saved, you're not going to get to heaven on your good works. You can't work good enough. You can't tithe enough to the church. The good thing about it is it don't matter what sins you've done in your life. Don't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter where you've been. God can forgive your sins. That blood of the Lamb can wash away all the wrong that you've ever done. You know what will happen? All that will be forgotten about. And the Lord will never bring it up to you again. And you'll become a new creature in Christ.